Today's guest is Fallon Fitzpatrick. Fallon is a master hairstylist and the founder and CEO of the New You School. With 20 years of New York salon experience, she has acquired a clientele base spanning as far as Australia and has created looks for top fashion brands and celebrities such as The Row, Zimmerman, TJ Miller, Parker Posey, Nikki Bella, and Snooki. For the last 20 years, Fallon has studied inner and outer transformation modalities, acquired a BA in psychology and a minor in sociology, with certifications in Kundalini yoga and meditation, integrated energy therapy, personal and professional life coaching, extensions, biolage, makeup, haircuts, and color. You guys, this episode goes literally all over the place. I'm so honored for Fallon to be on this episode. She is going to give you her whole background on how she got to where she is today, as well as the New You School, her upcoming podcast that we're launching together, and so much more. Let's get into today's show. Today's episode is brought to you by Your Podcast Production. Have you been wanting to launch your own podcast but not sure where to begin? Is time the only thing holding you back? Maybe you're already recording but need somebody to guide you through the production process. Do you have a message that needs to be heard? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then I have just the program for you. Your Podcast Production designs, coaches, produces, and aligns you and your brand to have a successful, enjoyable, and profitable podcast. After launching my own show, I had so many women reach out to me and ask me how I did it. So what did I do? I created something I wish existed. There are many ways to create and launch a podcast, and you want to make sure you do it right from the very beginning. I believe that keeping it simple, organized, and original is the most effective and efficient way to go. Are you ready to start the process? Are you ready to learn more? Visit yourpodcastproduction.com today. Welcome to Kellyanne Cares, a one-of-a-kind show created to motivate, stimulate, educate, and inspire you, personally and professionally. Hi, I'm Kelly. I'm an entrepreneur, patient advocate, content creator, and author. You may know me from the Everything is Messy book, brand, and podcast. But what you may not know is how hard I had to work to get me to where I am today, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. And in this season, I'm more driven and extremely passionate about my purpose to help you save the time, money, and energy it takes to be happier and get healthier with your mind, body, business, and life. Tune in every week to hear raw, unfiltered conversations from myself and my incredible guests as we discuss trending topics, share stories of resilience, and chat about all things health, wealth, healing, and wellness. Whether you're here to listen, learn, or laugh, I promise to bring awareness and add more value to your day. Take this time to relax and recharge. Listen, life is short. Invest in yourself. Be loud. Be different. Be you. And most importantly, enjoy the ride. Buckle up, because today's podcast experience starts now. One more thing. Sharing is caring. I would love your thoughts on today's episode. Head on over to Apple Podcasts to rate, review, and subscribe. I would truly appreciate it. Want to continue the conversation? Let's connect online. You can find me at KellyanneGorman.com and all my social links are in the show notes. Now let's get into today's show. Hey Fallon, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited you're here. As you guys heard in the intro, Fallon is truly one of a kind, and I'm so honored to also say that she's a client, and we have been working on something for like, I don't even know, 2 years now that we'll talk about later, maybe. So welcome, and let's just dive in. So tell us a little bit more about your background and your story. I want to get into a couple things with you. So first, your story, the traumas, and then we're going to dive into the pandemic and how you got to where you are now.
Okay, sounds great. So my story, I was born 1985, Poughkeepsie, New York, upstate New York. My parents and I lived in one room, and so it was like very poor upbringing, and there's just a lot of chaos. So like there was like drug dealers breaking in the house, and my dad broke my mom's nose and collarbone, and my mom would come home from the club with like her clothes ripped off and her hair ripped out and her face all bloodied up, and I would just be like, you know, alone with no food. And I remember like I had these favorite toys, these pencils, and my great grandmother used to make fun of me. She's like, I was spoiled materially, even though we didn't have money, because that's how my mom showed love. So I could like have anything I wanted as far as material things, which is super out of integrity in my opinion. But so my grandma used to make fun of me, like, you can have anything you want and you just want 5-cent pencils. And them as far as like making them into like family. So I remember because they would be different colors and stuff. Mm. And so almost Barbies with pencils. And I remember one time my mom, she's unfortunately bulimic and she would just exercise all day and scream at me. And one time I tried to, and like when my friends would knock at the door, she would say I couldn't play with them. So I'd just be playing with the pencils. And one day I said something to her that she didn't like, and she shoved me against a wall with the kitchen table and started breaking my pencils. And I remember that was like my whole life. So at 4 years old, I held a knife. I grabbed the butcher knife right as soon as I got pinned out from the unpinned from the table and held it to my throat. And I thought about killing myself then. And that was like the first turning point for me, which I had many turning points, which now I share in my new youth school. Like, no, I'm not going to let her have this control or power over me. So that was my first kind of rebellious act of actually not, right, murdering myself. And then it kind of continued as I got older in, like, abusive relationships because that's what I was brought up with. So mm-hmm. I had, like, my tooth knocked out and my arm broken. And I was an addict. Like, I would do ecstasy, cocaine, dust, ketamine all in one night. And I was 15, and I probably should have overdosed many times. And I remember waking up with like 30 hickeys on my neck and black vomit all over my sweater, which is like the stage before death, apparently, if your stomach is about to, you know, I don't know, rupture or something. I forgot the science. So it was, I basically was cutting school all the time, and thank God I was, because I didn't know how to deal with my emotions, right? So I was, yeah. I was numbing once. And I realized that, I was cutting school all the time, and because I was smart, thank God, I would fail and skip like the first three quarters, and then the last quarter I'd get like 100 on the Regents and 100 in the class, so then my average would be like 1 point above passing for the year, so I never got held back, but I would skip like 60 days at a time and just go to my friend's house, and we would have parties with the seniors and, you know, drink and do drugs as freshmen and never go to school, and I forged a letter that I had mono, and one time, I got cocky about it. I like went into the bathroom my first day back after like 60 days with my mono letter, and my principal, I was just like, I didn't feel like going to first period. So I was like, I'm just going to wait in the bathroom first period. And I got caught that way. And then the principal called my mom and was just like, hey, she was in the bathroom first period. I got your letter about the mono. And my mom was like, what? So I was just a bad girl. And I told my guidance counselor had regular meetings with students, and I was 15, and she said, how's your mom? And I said, well, last night I brought Kyle, my friend, to my house, and Kyle said, hi, nice to meet you. And she just stared at him and didn't say anything. And I said, Mom, aren't you going to say hi to Kyle? And she said, no. And I was so embarrassed. And I said, why? And she said, because he's a boy. And I said, so? Because yeah. I was like, I was sleeping over at my boyfriend's house at the time. It wasn't a big deal. She didn't have a thing against, you know, me hanging out with guys. She goes, I don't like boys. And I said, why? And she said, because they have dicks. And this poor kid was like,
oh,
so
my
shocked,
God.
16. And he was like, you know, didn't know what to say. And I was mortified. So I told my guidance counselor that story. And she was like, you need to see the school therapist. And at the time, I was bad. So I was just like, yeah, I'll get out of class once a week. So I started going once a week, and I was trying to move in with my dad at that point, and because he had gotten sober, because he had like 3 DWIs, so he was on probation, so he had to be. And so I was trying to move in with him, so he would come in and we would meet with this counselor once a week, and I felt like she was just hitting on my dad the whole time. Like,
oh my
dad
God.
Was attractive. I felt like he wasn't going anywhere. And we got a new lady after about 6 months, and I didn't really like her at first, and after about 6 months with her, things just started to click. And I realized, like, I was in a really fucked up environment. And, you know, I knew it because I was angry and stuff, but I didn't really realize, because that was what I was surrounded by, like,
yeah.
How fucked up it was. So I ended up going to school for psych, and I wanted to help adolescents with, you know, traumatic upbringings. But then I found my way kind of on the spiritual side. And I studied Kundalini yoga and became a master level instructor, integrated energy therapist, which is like the highest level of training for that type. It's kind of like Reiki, but it's mm-hmm. called IET, and it deals with releasing repressed emotions. And then I was an introduction leader for Landmark and did Landmark for years and years and years, all their trainings and levels and programs. And then I got certified as a life coach. So I basically now put all the stuff I've learned together and teach people how to get their shit together, because I was a complete disaster. And even stuff like I was $130,000 in debt. I ended up paying off $103,000 in like 15 months. Because kind of whatever I had experienced, I had the willingness at one point or another to put in the work. And I do think it's hard work, so my students have to do a lot of work. But, you know, researching, right, and studying each specific area of life. And so I help people now with their finances and with their communicating, you know, boundaries and healthy relationships and all that stuff. Now, my mom and I have like a fine relationship, you know, and she hasn't changed, maybe a little bit, but it's mostly, you know, me and the way I interact with her and set the boundaries and stuff like that. And another area that I help people with is health, because I have diagnosed with IBS. I used to have a lot of inflammation. My skin would just bleed all the time for years and years, and it was from eczema and psoriasis, and I just had a lot of breathing issues and sinus issues, and I was getting like bronchitis and strep and like all the time, and like probably every month I was getting super sick. And through a lot of research, I realized it's a lot of it is food sensitivities, and not even allergies, but sensitivities, which is completely different.
Yeah.
Blood work and stuff. So now I help people lose weight and get healthy with, I lost 50 pounds total at my lowest, and help people get healthy with their body as well. And had some people, like, their stage 4 metastasized breast cancer stopped spreading, you know, all of a sudden after doing the program and stuff like that. And I've had some people invest $50K in 12 weeks when they've never invested before. And two people getting out of abusive relationships and actually getting divorced when they came into the program to first fix the relationships. So just a lot of different breakthroughs. So I know there's a lot there. So what... what do you have for me?
That is a lot, but that's your journey and that's how you got to where you are now. And I feel like the best coaches are the ones that have gone through the experience and come out on the other side. I had somebody else on the show when we were talking about, we were both representing ourselves in medical malpractice cases. And we were talking about attorneys that don't have the compassion, like they truly don't understand it because they're not the patient. So I feel like in all areas of life, unless you're the one to go through it and come out, that's when you're at a level to help other people. When was it that you decided to get sober? Was this before all of your incredible certifications and yoga, or were you drinking through that? Like when was your, okay, I'm done. Like this is when I'm done. When was that?
I stopped drinking at 23, and it's an interesting story because I was definitely, and doing all drugs too, not just drinking. I was in a sorority and I was known as like the biggest partier in the sorority. So my big was like this second biggest partier, or maybe she was the first and I was the second. Like that's why they linked us together. They're like, you both have really high GPAs. And when I went to my dad, I had like a 3.95. I have no idea how I did that while I was still partying and stuff. But yeah, so we were both like the biggest partiers and we had high GPAs, and it was definitely my identity. Like I was a partier, and I was in therapy at the time. So I had done therapy the whole time. I hadn't done anything else. So I hadn't done like yoga or, I think I tried Kundalini once when I was still drinking and I didn't do anything. So it wasn't until I got sober that I tried it, that it really, like, I felt the difference in my body. I think I was just so numb, before then, but I was in a codependency group therapy program with my therapist in New York City, and one of the girls was like, I've been sober for 6 months, I'm so grateful, my life is amazing, I can't even believe I live this way, no hangovers, blah, 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 blah. And it really resonated with me when she was sharing, and I said, hey, I want to learn more about what you're doing. And so she brought me to an AA meeting, and I had been surrounded by like heavy drinkers. Like my whole family, the Christmas that we just had, they were like, oh, remember that time Uncle Johnny fell through the Christmas tree? And remember that time I totaled that car? Remember that time I ended up upside down in the river with that car? Ha ha ha. Like for my family, it was just normal. And my 80-year-old great grandmother like fell and scraped her whole face off on concrete and called called me and black out from the ER, like, I'm fine. Like, they're just really, you know, wild partiers. So for me, I thought it was normal. Like, I didn't think I was an alcoholic because I only drank when I went out on the weekends and never by myself and only socially and blah, blah, blah. So I went to this AA meeting with this girl, and it was like 7 in the morning, and it was all like old white businessmen, and they were talking about like hungry, angry, lonely, tired, and all these things that I had no idea what they were talking about, and nothing about alcohol, and it didn't resonate with me. So then I found Perry Street, which is like all the convicts and like the murderers and everything, and I was like,
oh my God.
Yes, because it resonated with me. They were talking about real shit. They would be in a blackout and like end up in Japan and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that's the type of shit like I did. I was wild. Like, I remember one time I was 23. I don't know. Yeah, I guess it was maybe 22. There was a woman that worked in my building, and I lived in a women's residence. Thank God it saved my life. When I first moved to New York City by myself when I was 20, and there's a woman that like worked at the desk, and we went to Atlantic City with her like 90-year-old grandmother.
Oh my God.
We went to a Chippendale show, and then we went to club. And my boyfriend at the time was like, don't rub your ass, like, dancing.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are you talking about? That's how I dance. Like, fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, so ridiculous. And so we went to this club, and I remember, like, getting drunk, making out guys, like, on the dance floor. I was a disaster. And I ended up, like, this is so terrible. I ended up going home with, like, a guy, like, had, like, all white on, like, you know, in the kitchen or whatever. We, like, took a 45-minute cab, and I was kind of in and out. Like, I didn't really remember doing any of that. So it was pretty much in a blackout. I woke up in an attic. Like, the freaking wall was, like, right next to my face. Like, that's how slanted the ceiling was.
Wait, you told me this story before.
And I'm like, oh, my God, I have to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So I go to leave, and he's like, I'm going to get shot, basically, if I leave.
And oh, my God.
It's a dangerous neighborhood. So this poor guy, like, had, like, you know, club outfit on that you don't want to walk around in the daytime with, and no money, and I was gonna throw up, and I was, you know, really hungover, and talk about like walk of shame. It was like an 8-hour walk of shame to get back to New York City, because we had to like walk and then take the bus, and then he took me to the Greyhound, and then get on the Greyhound, and like thank God for this guy, like, and just like help me to get home. And I was supposed to be at my boyfriend's house upstate New York that day. It was Super Bowl Sunday, and I felt so bad. And I, you know, the one that I had to fight with about the dancing. And I
you went from, wait, Bowl. Hold on. You went from Atlantic City to the city to upstate? Wait, Philly, then to the city, then to upstate?
What the hell? New York City to Atlantic City.
Yeah.
To North Philly, and then back to New York City, and then I never ended up going upstate.
Oh, you didn't go upstate. Okay. But still, like, for those of you listening that don't understand, like, the train system, like, that's just intense. Like, that right there, so many hours of traveling.
So many hours of traveling. So that was, like, my rock bottom, I felt like,
yeah,
at that point. And I remember going to an AA meeting, and this, like, it was, like, 71st Street, like, Upper West Side. Upper West. And this guy was, like, cowboy, so next to me, had like cowboy boots, jeans, cowboy hat. I told the story, and he goes, sat me with his elbow, and he was like, you think you had a bad night, which is just like nuts. So I think, you know, I didn't resonate with the people that were, I felt like, kind of hoity-toity in the meetings and stuff. I really resonated with like the raw, real stuff of it. And so I got sober when I was 23, and it was really hard. My mind was like spinning like crazy. I thought I was going insane for like the first 10 months. And then after month 10, I remember it was like silence, and I felt overwhelming peace. And I realized with any addiction, whatever we are using, the substance or the food or the sex or the toxic relationships or the TV to repress, like when you take it away, all of that stuff will come up, and it's perfect because it has to be released. So it's kind of the same thing with the diet. Like, people are angry when they stop eating like sugar or carbs or both, and it's because maybe they're repressing their anger by, you know, shoving their face with sugar and carbs. So all that stuff kind of has to come out in order to be dealt with, accepted, healed, whatever. So
I feel like sugar's the worst. I've done that so many times, and the headaches from the sugar, like, it really is a drug. It's so addictive. That's why younger kids are like obsessed with all that shit. Like, Pop-Tart, sugar syrup. I mean, it's so bad what's on the market right now, but it legit is a hangover headache. No sugar when you stop.
100%. So I went through that yesterday, 2 days ago. I started my new nutrition program again. And so it was really hard for me when I first got sober because I lost all my friends. And I think with drinking in particular, a lot of people don't want to admit their own problem with it. So they project it onto other people. So they say, just have a drink. Why can't you just have one? Like, da 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 da, instead of just like supporting someone when they want to be sober. So I lost all my friends and I had to learn to do different things, like on the weekends and new friends and all that. But now.
It's different now, though. It's so different now, especially after the pandemic. I feel like a lot of people they realize, like, oh, you're sober. Okay, I have a sober friend. Like, it's different. Like, when you went through that, like, we're the same age. So, like, when we were in our 20s, like, the shit that we pulled in our 20s, and we've had calls about this before, like, we need a dating podcast together. Like, no one would believe us, the shit that's happened to us in our 20s. We would not be alive if that happened today. No way in hell. Absolutely no way. And with being sober, I feel like that's become such a more popular topic, especially like when I'm on TikTok. Like, I end up on Sober Talk sometimes, and it's a whole new, like, positive community where you didn't have that before. It's like, okay, all my friends peaced out. Like, that wasn't common, you know?
Absolutely. And I personally stopped going to AA after 6 months. I do think people should go to AA, especially if they want support and need support. But I had a bad experience with my sponsor at the time. She was saying, like, because I wanted to go to meetings like 3 times a week. I was like, listen, I don't have the craving to drink, and I'm so busy. I'm in a sorority. I'm working at a salon. I'm in college full time. I don't want to go every day to a meeting. And she was like, well, you're going to drink and you're going to die if you don't go every day.
Oh my God. Way to keep the positivity going.
Yeah. And then she ended up going out, they call it, and like drinking.
Oh my God.
And I didn't, right, for 12 years or whatever. I think that I had a bad experience, so I never went back. But since then, I think I've been to, like, maybe 2 meetings with some of my students in the new school, just to, like, give them support and so they don't feel alone.
That's so awesome.
It does seem now a lot more positive. That's what I noticed. So I do think that.
And you've tried a couple different versions, too. Like, it's not, you have to find, like, the sponsor that works out for you best, the meeting that works out for you best. Like, you've got to feel it, and you've got to feel good about yourself if you're going to start to go through something like that.
Absolutely. So now I think there is a little bit less heaviness around it. Like you said, it's more of a positive thing.
Yeah. I love that you went to meetings to support your clients. That's so amazing. Now let's talk about the pandemic. First of all, you guys can't see Fallon, but behind her is Miami Beach. She was not always in Miami Beach. She manifested this shit and it made it happen. Just like I wanted my book, I made it happen. We literally did this all at the same time during the pandemic. That's when I met Fallon. So when you were living your best life, running around New York City, you are doing celebrity clients' hair, and then the whole world shut down. This is when all of this that you've created that's out now, everything that we've been talking about with your clients in the new school and up-and-coming podcast, what made you finally, I mean, obviously the world shut down, so how long did it take you, I know the answer to this, but for you to figure out, like, fuck, like, what am I going to do right now? What was that process like in your head? And then how long was the process for you to create this entire school and launch it and pivot your entire life? And now you have both of them, both of the lives.
That's so funny. I do have both of them. So I have been thinking about, I went in 2018, right? So it's 2022, so 4 years ago. So funny. I went to Panama and my friend and I had this amazing trip in the volcano Baru and like the mountains and the snorkeling with the turtles, and we did the volcano, we did everything, and we wrote our 5-year plan, and I said, in 5 years I don't want to have to do hair anymore, I want to have this business. And I didn't know what it was going to be called or anything, and I said I want to combine all the techniques I learned and help people transform their life. So I got back from the trip and I realized I don't have to wait 5 years, right? I can do it now. So I basically had one of my virtual assistants, I said, can you sign, or that was an assistant in person at the time, because I'm a big fan of outsourcing literally everything.
Literally everything. Fallon had like 10 assistants at one point. Thank God I didn't have to deal with any of them, but I'm like, how many more people are you going to hire?
I just hired 3 last night.
Oh my God.
So right now I have three, four, five, six. Yeah. So six, yeah. But so basically, I'm a fan of outsourcing everything. And because everyone's like, how do you do so much? You do so much. I'm like, I pay people to do stuff. That's
yeah. I get it done. I never would have launched my book without I hired a team of 11. No way in hell would I have been able to do that. And also, like, we're very multi-passionate entrepreneurs. We do a lot. Not many people can do all of the things that we do. So that's why there's so many people that we have to hire, because you need one person for each little project, which is exactly. good and bad.
Exactly. So I told my assistant, I said, who you know, Marva, she's mm-hmm. working for me. I'm just here and there. I said, find me a life coaching school. And so she just looked one up, signed me up. It was in New York City. They have them all over. And the teacher, after the weekend training, was like, I do a business training for 12 weeks for students that want to work more on the business side. So I signed up for that. And it was like group coaching. I think it was like five of us from the course. And then she introduced us to this company called Dream Factory. And Adam, the CEO and founder, and I got on the call with Adam, and I remember he's like, okay, this. I told him everything I studied, what I was thinking the name would be, which came from one of the students in my group business coaching course. He's like, you'll call it like the new U School. And I was like, oh my God, because he knew that I did hair and I was combining some of the beauty stuff. So that was really cool. Because the new U is like, you know, with your outer and inner. Mm-hmm. So. Adam said, this is what you're going to teach. This is the theme, this and this, and we'll build your website and we'll teach you how to launch it and we'll help you put your course together and train you. So they basically said, we'll take whatever you're doing, we'll put it together for you and help you launch it. So, it was, I said, okay, how much? And when he told me, I didn't have the money at all. I was still in a lot of debt and I just said like, fuck it. And I got like a 0% balance transfer and put it on a credit card. And I was so glad I did that. So it was actually, I started their course probably like 11 months. I would say like 9 to 11 months before the pandemic. So I was meeting with them weekly, sometimes four times a week at maximum, because they had like three times a week classes. And then I would have meetings with the branding person. And we were going over, you know, all the stuff, color, target audience, blah, 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 what I'm teaching, blah, blah, blah. And so I basically had this business ready, when the pandemic hit, but I was so busy because, yeah, I was doing like, I did hair for, you know, top brands for Fashion Week and some for actors and some for TV and film. And I had my regular clients. So I was like super busy working like up to 90 hour weeks at the salon. And so
I was just going to say that because you text me and it's like, okay, I know you started at like 6-7 and it's now like 1-2. And I'm like, I don't miss those hours.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, or it was ridiculous, not really anymore as much. So, I was so busy and you know, it's hard on your body. So even when I had off, I was like recovering and did such long days. I was trying to like do my laundry and stuff. So, when the pandemic hit, I was freaking out because I didn't have any income coming in. Unemployment took a long time and I was in the paying my debt off stage without like a big emergency fund or anything. So, I think, I don't remember, but I think I took out a loan, or I did a 0% balance transfer on my credit card. So I had like a little bit of a cushion, which I ended up paying off, whichever it was. And then I launched, and I remember for me, it was really scary because I had like 24,000 followers on Instagram, just hair, right? So I had posted like when I Snooki's wedding and TJ Miller's hair and Parker Posey's hair and Nikki Bella's hair and all that kind of stuff and the fashion weeks. So for me to like switch, even though I had been studying this stuff, I started therapy when I was 15 and then I went to school for psych when I was 18 and then I started all those other trainings when I was 23. So I had been doing those trainings all along. So even though I had studied for, you know, 20 years.
Nobody knew that though.
What?
Nobody knew that because they just know you as hair.
Yeah, I talked about it with people I knew, but nobody
online. Yeah,
personally, so I was really, really scared. Like I remember I was like shaking, and at the time I was reading the Tim Ferriss book, and he said you have the 4-hour work week.
Oh yeah,
you have to do one thing that you fear every day, and the thing that you fear most is the thing you most need to do. Mm-hmm. So I just kept thinking about that because I was so afraid. And I launched and I brought in like 40K in my first, you know, I think it was like 6 weeks or something. I signed up so many people. So I was so glad I was able to pay off, you know, the course and all that stuff. And it was so nice to see that all of my stuff was working. Like, mm-hmm. once the students started really getting results pretty much right away, I was like, okay, I'm onto something. So then I've just been like refining it and adding to it and tweaking. Since then, it's never going to stop. I'm always improving the course consistently. But I feel like the foundation is the same, and it's really exciting because it's proven to work. So even people that, you know, have tried years and years of therapy and tried personal development things and tried Landmark and tried this and tried coaching, like, it's even working with those people. Like, they're seeing a huge dramatic shift in literally all the areas of their life, their health, their weight loss, their finances, their relationships, their mental, emotional state, their physical health. So their home, like, always shifts in their home. So I feel like I'm really excited that, you know, I just threw my hat over the fence, and now it's like very fulfilling. And I was able to, kind of what you're talking about in the beginning of just a couple minutes ago, I now moved out of New York. I live on the beach. It's Hollywood Beach. It's right next to Miami. Same thing. I live on the beach, which has always been my dream, and mm-hmm. the view is just amazing. And I go to New York 1 week every five days every 5 weeks and do all my New York City clients. Mm-hmm. And I can be here on the beach. And I have about 7 hair clients here, maybe 8 now, that either moved from New York or people I met here. But other than that, I'm just doing the new U school, the new U nutrition. I have teacher trainings now for both. I have some people in the teacher trainings.
I was just going to ask you to explain that, because the process when they work with you is that they go through different levels, but then after that, there's options to then become a trainer. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely, yes. So yes, I have, it used to be called level 1, 2, and 3, so, but now I call it intermediate, beginning, intermediate, and mastery levels. Sounds better, but sometimes I call it the other levels by accident. And so each one is 12 weeks, mm-hmm. and we have one-on-one and group. I really prefer the group, because the group is, there's new research that says you retain more if you're in a group setting, like you retain like 80 to 90% more. So I think it's really nice. And also the people that resonate with my program are usually empaths that have had people maybe taking advantage of them or not treating them so well, or maybe cluster B and narcissistic type of people. So when you have other empaths that are kind and supportive, I think mm-hmm. it really makes a difference, because a lot of people are lacking those types of relationships.
Yeah, definitely the support, I think, because if they're alone, it's just like, okay, like they almost don't have, like, they're missing like the accountability that's going to hold them up to like get to the next level where they need to be. I agree with that.
Absolutely. So I really like the groups. It's like my favorite, but I do one-on-one as well. So there's 3 levels, beginning, intermediate, and mastery. And then if they want to be a coach, there's 2 levels of coaching program. So they can do one 12-week program after they complete the 3rd level, the mastery level, and they can teach level 1. Or they can do another coaching program after that, 12 weeks, and they can teach 2 and 3. So like 2 and 3 is combined together because they already have experience as a coach. And I teach them how to teach the new school. And they'll also share their own breakthroughs that they've had with the program, because most people that want to coach, their whole lives are different in such a short amount of time. So they want to spread that to people. And I also have it set up very, very easily for people. So I take on a lot of the work for them. So it's not like they have to build their own business, you know, because mm-hmm. I probably spent like $250,000 on my business, right? So it's not a lot of investment on their part to have everything, a system already set up, kind of like a franchise.
Yeah. I was just going to say, this is like the best pyramid business you could ever set up, but like in a good positive way, because what you're creating is continuously moving through all of these humans that are healed. Like, there's nothing better than that. Like, the positivity, the healing, the trauma, like the trauma's getting released, everybody's getting healed, they're becoming a better person, but then they're not just going out into the world and like hoping it you know, sticks. They're moving on to continuously help more people. So it's constantly evolving, which is so amazing. I love that you set it up that way. And speaking of setting things up, I'm sure that you guys have seen my Microsoft Excel documents that I have putting on TikTok. So Fallon is the reason behind these Excel spreadsheets. So let's talk a little bit about your one-of-a-kind show. And in my intro for my show, this is a one-of-a-kind podcast experience. Yes. However, you will never hear anything anywhere like Fallon's show because let's just, Fallon, explain your show.
Okay. So I wanted to add one thing, if I can, about the last topic.
Really. Yeah.
Also, I do the same with the nutrition program. So people can do the new school. They can add on the nutrition program, or they can just do the new school, or they could just do the nutrition program. But I also have teacher training specifically just for the nutrition program, which is also awesome. What happens if someone loses like 40 pounds in 4 months, and then they're like, I want to help other people lose weight. So
yeah.
I also have a teacher training for the just the nutrition part as well. So the podcast, it just came to me one day where, you know what, I'm going to interview the students are the stars. And I'm going to interview the students before, during, and after each of their programs, each of their levels. So the reason Kelly said there's nothing like this, right? Because some people sit down and they just record 52 episodes in 2 days, right? This is sometimes people like a year and a half of their progress into like one or two episodes. So I basically got their backstories, their struggles, their traumas, what their goals are, what they want to accomplish, and then the struggles of the program. Because it's always hard, right? It's not like you snap your fingers and it's easy and you're going to get the life you want. You're going through shit.
So that's the hardest part, I feel like.
Okay.
That is the hardest part, going through all that shit.
And then it's they're going through it, their resistance, their fears, their whatever, procrastination, limiting beliefs. And then it's coming out on the other end. So it's really cool that the students are the stars. And it helps them because everyone that does the podcast, they're like, I forgot how fucked up I was 12 weeks ago or a year ago because the progress is slow over time and it compounds. So they forget like where they were at. So I think it's like very, very empowering for them and helpful for them. But then also for the listeners, not just they have to do the new youth school, but whatever they decide to do, that it's possible for them to change and it's possible for them to get the results they want and it's possible for them to have the life they want. Because most people just walk around with like impossibility goggles on, but they just don't think it's possible.
I agree with that. And then also as far as the levels of them going through the new school, the way that the episodes are going to be, you're going to be able to hear each student share their story on through this whole process, right? So if you're watching like an IGTV video, a YouTube video, it's one shot. It's a story, like how you shared your story in the very beginning of this episode. Okay. Well, now when people tune into your podcast, they're going to hear these people literally change through their entire journey with the production of hearing that, like their voices sound different. They're healing through the episode and you actually get to tune in and hear that. There's nothing else like this. And I'm so grateful that I get to work on it. I have a newfound love for Microsoft Excel because like I said earlier, we've been working on this for about 2 years, but now I have all the files. So now it's like, I get to hear these incredible stories. I'm an empath. I'm super emotional. So I'm pretty sure I'll cry when I get to the good ones. I'm like, she's healed. Yes. But on the business aspect, you know, a lot of people just do a podcast to do a podcast, which is great. But from a monetization and business standpoint, you want to make money from, you know, you're investing time, money, and energy into a project, and you want to make an income from it. So it's also going to be used as a sales funnel for more people to join the new school so that you can help change and transform even more lives using these releases and these students sharing their entire journey, which is phenomenal because a lot of people don't realize like that's the whole purpose. You know, if you want to monetize a show, if you want to help more people, you're creating all this content and investing so much. The only reason why you're doing it is to help other people. So having an audio platform with the video, with the funnel of the school, it all, I mean, I wish I could, I'm like using my hands so much right now, but like it's a whole funnel and it just makes sense. And that's the best thing about podcasting is that there's no rules. And I've said that from day one. I remember when you and I first started talking and I'm like, no, there's no fucking rules. We're going to do whatever the hell you want. We're going to, okay, what do you want to do? Let's do it by levels. Let's get some NDAs. Let's get some releases going. Like, let's make an Excel spreadsheet. Like, Everything is on brand. These transformations are real, and there's no other show that documents that in one episode that's not 5 hours long, you know? So I'm honored I get to work on your show. I'm so excited for people to hear it. And I will put the link in the show notes once it's live. So when you guys listen to the replay of this eventually, that you can check it out and actually see and hear exactly what we've been talking about. But Fallon, what do you have coming up next? What are you working on now? I know, talk about your speaking. Because you don't stop like me. Like, you're always like, okay, what's the next step in life? What's the next level? So what are you working on now?
So I am in a course. It's called Heroic Public Speaking. And they teach you the performance aspect of speech, of keynote speaking, or TED Talks, or breakouts, or workshops, whatever. Because they both have a MFA in Master in Fine Arts from Yale and NYU in acting. So they say, like, even mediocre content, if it's performed well, it can have a bigger emotional impact on the audience. And in order to change the way people act, you have to change the way they think. And in order to change the way they think, you have to change the way they feel. So I am in the process. I just did my first outline where I'm really sharing my story start to finish, like the whole story, and the insights and, like, the aha moments that led to change and transformation, so other people can relate to that and get over their excuses and their limited thinking and stuff. So I just finished my outline. My first draft is due in a week and a half, so I'm going to have to pull a couple all-nighters this week.
I feel like that's the hardest part, though, is, like, writing your own bio and telling your own story, but then doing it in a specific way, speaking, but narrowing it down, because I feel like those of us that have these crazy transformations and journeys and life stories, they're not short and sweet. So it's like, how do you get all of this into, like, one short paragraph and then say it? Like, how do you say it, you know?
So once I hand it in, I'm going to New York in a week and a half. So once I hand it in, which I don't even want to right now. I'm like, I want to stay at the beach, but it's okay, eventually. So once I hand it in this round, then I get a writing editor and get feedback and stuff, because it's about adding contrast, like emotional contrast, so it's not too heavy and things like that. So I'm going to incorporate some data, some of, you know, my own stories and some teaching moments in there, so give it some contrast. But I'm really excited because I really want to transform the way the planet views things in the sense of, like, we can literally have anything we want, and all we have to do is be willing to put the work in. And the work doesn't have to always be hard, right? It could be just bringing in gratitude, which might feel hard to start, but in the moment can be not quite pleasant, right? I mean, it has to be, like, terrible. And it doesn't mean that you have to want to or feel like it. You just have to be willing, you know, willing to start somewhere, put in the work. But that it's worth it. And people, I believe anyone can literally accomplish literally anything they want. And step by step, right? Realistic stuff, not like secret type of stuff where you're just laying there dreaming about checks, right? You're making a plan and you're putting in the work, but that it's all possible and it's all worth it. And I think it's also about finding your purpose, right? How can you turn your lemons into lemonade and your pain into pleasure?
I love it. Where can everybody connect with you on the internet?
So I have thenewyouschool.com, thenewyouschool.com. And then I have FallonFitzpatrick.com. Right now, that's FallonFitzpatrick.com. Right now, my Fallon Fitzpatrick is mostly my hair, but depending on when people listen to this, if they listen to the replay, eventually they'll see more about my speaking. And then it'll have a link to the podcast and the book. I'm also writing a book, and I have a book agent, and I'm just waiting to finish my public speaking training before I finish the proposal, but I'm so excited about that. That's my next thing. So the speaking, the book, and the podcast are the next things, and always taking new students. So if you're interested in the New You School, you can go to thenewyouschool.com and click apply now. You'll fill out an application. If I think you're a good fit, we'll get on a call to get you scheduled. And on the call, I give you a free session. There's also New You youschool.com/meditation if you would like to watch a video of the type of stuff that I teach. So I offer that as well. And Instagram is just my name, Fallon Fitzpatrick for now. Facebook, Fallon Fitzpatrick. Pretty much all the socials, it's Fallon Fitzpatrick.
What do you mean for now? Is there going to be another name?
I did get the new U School Instagram account.
No, I mean last name.
Oh,
the way you said it.
That's so funny.
For now.
No. I mean, my name is pretty badass, so I don't know. The person's name, if I take on, maybe there'll be a hyphen or something, but that's going to be a long-ass name, so who knows.
I know, right definitely. I'm all about the hyphen.
Yeah, right now I'm super single, but maybe one day.
Fallon, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for creating the new school and putting so much good into the world and truly caring about helping others succeed in life. It's been a pleasure as always. And you guys to connect with Fallon, please go visit the show notes. Everything she mentioned will be there and we will talk to you again soon.
And the meditation is newyouschool.com/meditation. No the, but Kelly will put it in.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Kelly. You are the best.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Kellyanne Cares, a one-of-a-kind show created to motivate, stimulate, educate, and inspire you. And I hope that happened for you today. As I mentioned in the intro, I would love your feedback on today's episode. Head to Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or your favorite podcast app to leave a review for the show. I would truly appreciate it. For more information on myself, the show, my book, and the programs, products, and services I've created, visit KellyanneGorman.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter, join the podcast community, and check out the brands I'm currently loving. Let's continue today's conversation. You can connect with me on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at Kellyanne Gorman Official. All my other social handles will be available for you in the show notes. If you have a product, brand, story, or service you would like to share on the show, send me a message on KellyanneGorman.com today. As always, thanks for listening, sharing, and reviewing. I wouldn't be here without you, and I'm so grateful I get to do what I love each and every day. Wishing you a happy, healthy, positive, and productive day, and I'll talk to you again soon.